Good morning, church. Buenos días. Bonjour. Guten Morgen. What more? Buongiorno per la mattina. Okay. After living for almost 4 years and in this beautiful valley, I think I know a little bit about the identity of the valley, okay? After almost 4 years. One thing that I recognize is that people here in the valley are very polite. You can do this. Your chest can be, yeah. Since I am not from here, obviously I am different. And when I speak, sometimes I tend to be direct. Some of my brothers who knows me, they can say, yeah. That makes some people uncomfortable. Sorry about that. Okay, this is a warning about the message. Okay, this is a warning. Now, this book of Colossians is an amazing book. It's an amazing letter. It's an amazing letter. I love to see the background, the historical background. I love to see the cultural background. I love to know what was happened at that time. And let's see some of the facts about this letter. Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison in Rome. Okay? This is the first thing. Paul didn't found this church. Okay? The majority of the scholars think that the church was founded by Epaphras. I'm going to mention some names, and because English is not my first language, can be a little strange, but I will try, okay? If I say something, a bad word, you forgive me, okay? You are so kind, so polite. Okay? He didn't found this church. This letter was wrote probably 62 Anno Domini after Christ, okay? The letter of Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon was almost right at the same time. Very interesting. The city of Colossae was located in a very, very important crossroad. I have a map for you. I want to show a map. If my brother... Please, the game is later, okay? Okay. You can see in this map the city of Colossae, the city of Hierapolis, and Laodicea. And in the corner over there, in the left corner, you can see Ephesus. Okay, this was a very, very important crossroad between these three big cities. Colossae was the biggest one for many, many years. Hierapolis is in the north, maybe 6 miles. In this map, I tried to find an accurate map. I didn't find anyone. But many of the scholars says Hierapolis was around 6 miles north. And Laodicea was maybe 10 miles northeast. Okay. There was a river coming just in the size of Colossae. And they have good water. The river was the Lycus River, passing just by Colossae. But Laodice is a little far, and they built an aqueduct to bring water from the river Lycus to Laodice, to deliver water. That fact provides us with a context for the message John received for the church in that city in Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. And he says this, "I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." This is very interesting because this reference is exactly what happened in Laodicea. Because the aqueduct was so long, when they received the water in the city, the water didn't come fresh, didn't come cold. Come hot. In Revelation, God is using the same word to talk about this. Okay? In this time, Colossae was a great city, and is the derivation from the word colossal. That means that was a huge, huge city. People from all over pass through this crossroad because they merchants, all kind of people, merchant, freedmen, slaves, religious. The city was a cosmopolitan in every sense. Okay, this area over here, all this area, is the Phrygian area. This was the local people. But the city have all kind of people. They have Greeks, they have Romans, they have Jews, all kind of people living in this area, okay? They had all brought to Colossae their own religions, their own gods, their own belief, their traditions. So those things that one person passes on to another. The city was, in a word, pluralistic. Ephesus was close, maybe they say maybe 120 miles from Colossae, but very different than this other area. That city, Ephesus, was the center of the call to Diana, the fertility goddess. We found adherents of Diana in all this area, okay? In the case of Colossae, religious and humanistic currents were much more abundant. Animism, astrology, mystical philosophy, angels, worship, Jewish ritualism, and asceticism. You know what it is. Okay. And this one, asceticism, is the search for moral or spiritual perfection through renouncing the pleasures and even satisfaction of the basic needs of the body. That was a view about what's going on around this city. Now, let's see Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 6 to 12. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, So walk in him. I'm reading about the English Standard Version. Rooted and built up in him and establishes in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one take you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirit of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. First of all, I have the impression that each one of this group represented in the church of Colossae brought some of his culture, some of his tradition, some of his environment into the church. And little by little, these things were being mixed with the gospel. When we came to Christ for the first time, he forgave us our sins, receiving us with open arms. And our life changed. That happened. I don't know about you. That happened with me. That is undeniable. But it's also true that many are still lugging around things from the past. Family traditions, the environment in which they were born and raised, and ideas that you receive from the media, from the TV, from friends, from influence. And it's most regrettable that in some cases this thing have gotten mixed with the gospel, resulting in what we call syncretism. Did you follow me? Are you following me? What is the idea? Let me give you an example. I come from a background of drugs and alcohol and rock. Look like some, there is, I have some brothers here. Okay, I'm talking about rock. No, the other thing, okay? And since I received the Lord, from the moment that I received the Lord, I never come back to drugs and alcoholism. I never been drunk again in my life. But being honest with you, I recognize that sometime I listen rock. I confess to my pastor. He can say, it is true, yeah? I confess to him. I listen rock. I'm not in rock. I'm not in a, never more drunk. But sometime somebody can be in my car and say, oh, you are not listening, Caleb? Sorry, no, I'm listening Led Zeppelin. Or the Beatles. The long and winding road. I confess this. What concerned the Apostle Paul about the church in Colossae is the same thing that we have concern today in our church. Nowadays, that the influence of the world should not take away from the Lord what he deserves, for it is his. May nothing and no one steal the glory that belongs to his son Jesus. Verse 6 and 7, the apostle urged the church to walk in Christ, just as they have received him. At the beginning of the letter, he have already told them in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, so as to walk in him in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Walking is a familiar term that refers a daily conduct. In brief, it's not how you act during the 2 hours that you are here. Rather, it's how you live your life. How much of Jesus you reflect daily in what you say, how you live, how you act, what are your attitudes? This is the thing. Brothers and sisters, this letter is absolutely, absolutely valid for today. He's speaking to us very, very clear. From the problem that Paul presents in this letter, I can deduce which group in this multicultural church brought along which problem. I think Greeks, could you imagine what the Greek bring to the church? Very simple. The thinking. Still we have, many have Greek mentality, humanistic mentality, philosophy. Look at what Luke says in the book of Acts about this. Acts 11, 21. He says, all the Athenians and the foreigners who live there spend their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. They love ideas. They was looking for new ideas. This is the reason, because when Paul was in Athens, they came to listen to him. Let's see. What new you have? What new you are bringing to us? Mentality. Philo, love. Sophie, wisdom, knowledge. How much of this we have in our churches? How much we have of this in the body of Christ right now? Oh, brother, Do you read the book of da-da-da-da-da-da? It's amazing what he says there. What is that? Knowledge. We love books. We love books. We love to know more things. We know new things. Bookstore, secular and Christian, of course Christian, are full of all kinds of books. But it's very interesting that having all these books, all these authors, Christian author, we live in a rampant biblical illiteracy. Why is that? Why we can live in being biblical illiteracy? Why? Years ago, there was a research in a couple of universities in California. And what they found in this research was the atheists know more, they know more of the Bible than Christians. What? We love knowledge, but we don't know what the Bible says. Very simple. Each culture has his own tradition, and some groups are stronger than others. Some terms lead me to believe that the Jewish community brought along their tradition. One of them is the circumcision, and Paul is talking here about the circumcision. Why? Because the Jew was pushing the church to circumcision. Even when they were free from there, there were some people with back of the tradition. You need to do this in this way. What we have today, you know what? There is some churches that they can accept as somebody like me dressed in this way preaching to you. Why? Because the tradition says to them, I need to come with tie, I need to dress in, I don't know, I'll say with a, you know that. We bring tradition. Some of us, we have our own traditions. Some traditions are good, some traditions are not good. In the case of normally tradition bring legalism. They came together. Tradition and legalism. You need to do this, exactly what we say. There is some churches, brother, who is difficult. It's very difficult for them to make any change. Because the tradition says, no, 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 no. This is the way. It's sacrosanct. We are free from traditions. Amen. We are free from traditions. The Jew received the 10th commandment, and they add 611 more. Wasn't enough. The human loved the tradition, loved to create things. And this was happened in the church of Colossae. They have a lot of this tradition. But Jesus came to break some of this tradition. He speaks so clear. He tells to the people. He makes an incredible example of broken this tradition. For example, in the wedding of Cana, at Cana, what he used was something that for the Jew was a tradition. They have this big jar with water. That was for the purification. All the time you came from outside, came to your house, purified your hand, your feet. They didn't put anything in that jars besides of water. If something fell inside of the jar, you know what they made? They broke the jar because something impurity was put in there. What the Lord Jesus Christ made? He made wine. He transformed this sacrosanct water in wine. For what? To show to the Jew people, broke the tradition. He is the blood who make us clean. Not the water. It's him. Another example about this very strong tradition. A by I and tooth by tooth. Matthew 5, 38, 39. You have heard that the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slapped you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. He was changing tradition. But here in Colossae, the influence from outside was put more tradition. And again, tradition is legalism, and when you get the tradition, you are no longer free. You are tied with the tradition. Some people were condemned for not honoring certain celebration or food and drink. That reminds me of the Holy Week and my childhood home. Since I come from a Catholic background, through a child I could not run, sing, play, whistle, and no meat during the Holy Week. If I ran, my grandmother came to me and take me. It's a Holy Week. It looked like everybody was. Tradition. I grew up with this. When I was a teenager, I hated it. I hate Holy Week, Good Friday. And here in the United States, it's only a couple days. Over there is the Holy Week. Could you imagine for a child? I coming from the street after playing with my kid, my brothers, my friends, and my grandma said, "Shh, stop, boy. It's a Holy Week." I don't know which group introduced to the Colossae church the angels' worship. I don't know, but some group brought the worship to angels. This letter was wrote in around 62 AD. How much influence have the angels in our Christian culture? You can go any library, secular, Christian, and you are going to find a lot of books about angels. A lot. Not only that, people love small figurines put there. Some titles. Daily guidance from your angels. Healing with your guardian angel. Guardian angels and spiritual guides. Let me say something here. This sound spiritual because we have angels. We have Gabriel and other angels here. But sounds so spiritual that some people can turn out of the Lord Jesus Christ and follow angels because it's very spiritual, sounds very spiritual. Brothers and sisters, today, 2018, we have a lot of influences attacking the church. Something that sounds spiritual, but is taken out of the Lord. Let's talk about love, for example, today. Everybody is talking about love. Give one example. I remember a pastor from the north. I'm not going to mention his name. He says, for example, love, God love us so much that at the end, he's going to forgive all of us. Have you heard something like that?
Yeah, because love. God is love. It is true. It is true. God is love. He loves us. But he is justice too. He gave us all the manual is over here. But because love, some people, some Christians are covering and forgetting what the Bible says. We are in trouble, brother. Because we have too much ignorance in the body of Christ. Paul says that those that follow such things are puffed up with idle notions. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter because he heard that the church was being deceived into believing false teaching. And he came back to make sure they were okay. He never visited this place. He never found the church. He don't know anyone in that church. But his heart was so consumed by the Holy Spirit, by the love to the Lord, that he wrote this letter. Pay attention about this. What is very interesting for me is at the end of this book, he says very clear, when you read this letter, please pass this letter to the brother of Laodicea. What we found about Laodicea in Revelation? They are no hot, they are no cold. They are kind of floppy between these two things. I'm concerned that when the Colossians, when they read this letter to everyone and they pass to Laodicea, look like to me they didn't pay much attention. The letter was, and we found them. And the Lord is saying about this situation, I'm going to, the word in English is so polite, spit. In the Spanish say, I will vomit from my mouth. What about us today? Please help me. Give me a hand. And if we can recognize some of this danger today, could you mention some? Politic is something. Coming from another country, I'm so concerned about what I see today in the body of Christ. Look like Jesus is out of the picture because I'm following the color of my preference, red or blue. Where is the Lord there? We came to the Lord, but some people still are carrying their backpack with things from the past. I remember a man that I met in my first church in Denver, Colorado. He came almost every Sunday at the end of the service to the altar, asking for God, please forgive me, God. Please forgive me, forgive me. We pray for him. Until I know what's going on with the brother. He was tied with pornography. He was captive by pornography. He came to the front. He cried, confessed. You know what happened next week? He was at the front again. When the Lord make us free, we are free. We are free. We are no longer in chain with the sin, with the tradition, with thing of the past, with fear. People live with fear. And when they bring to the gospel, they still, they don't know how to manage this thing. From one side, the Lord says, I am with you. But on the other side is, what's going on with this? Insecurity. If you are coming from a background where traditions or angels or very spiritual or mystical things, you are going to be tied with that things until the Lord make you free, completely free. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. I love how Paul presents the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 1. I know this is the fourth preaching about Colossians. But you heard in the past week about how Paul presents the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. I don't think any other passage of the Bible put the Lord Jesus Christ like Paul put in the first chapter. He is our Lord. But brother, you need to recognize your own life. You need to be honest with you. If something is not clear with you, is if you are coming here every Sunday for 2 hours, but after the service you make your own life in the way that you act like you don't know the Lord, please, this is the time. This is the time to recognize and be honest and ask to the Lord, Lord, I want you to take care, take control of my entire life, every single area of my life. I want to give to you. Babe? I want to invite you, take a couple of minutes, and ask to the Lord. Being honest with Him. Be honest with Him. What is in your life? What are you carrying in your backpack? For many years, I carry in my backpack bad temper. I recognize you. This is. I learned from my father. I saw my father just for 5 years. When I born to 5 years old, he was a violent man. Very violent man. One time, I remember I was maybe 4 years old, he tried to kill my mother with a knife. And my mother pushed his back against the door, and he tried to kill my mother. And for many years, I remember the mark of the knife in that door. I learned by him. For many years, I was doing exactly the same thing that my dad made it. Because I came from that culture, a culture of violence, bad temper.
for many years. I have that in my backpack. I came to the church, praise the Lord, give my offering, feeling I am a Christian, I follow the Lord. And sometimes when somebody put their feet in my tooth, and I was, hey, what's going on? I respond. Until the Lord came and says, Pepe, you are no free man, because you are not giving me the authority over that things. This is the time, brother, sister. Take up a couple of minutes. And again, be honest with the Lord. And ask to the Lord, please search my heart, Lord. Search my life. And let me know if it is something that is not right. Ministry team, could you come forward, please? If you have recognized something, please come to the front. We want to pray for you. Lord, thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for make us free. Free of everything, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. In one of the songs that we sang, we say we don't deserve. And honest, Lord, we don't deserve. But your love is so big for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Could you stand up, please? Again. If you are fighting with some of these things, please come to the front. Take this opportunity that the Lord is giving you. Confess to Him, and I promise you are going to be free. Come to the front. Give to the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, really. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the concern of this man who was so far, but he loved the church so much that he wrote this letter like a warning
confrontation. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen.